We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
When anybody asks me, so what worked really well, I talk about memory mirrors because I got tons of attention. Customers love them, and the use case, when you see it, is pretty obvious, right? How do I make it easier for you to see what you have on with your own two eyes so you can decide, do I like it and do I want it? We had great success with the original kind of fashion play with that, and we continued to build on that use case, doing sunglasses, and then we've added a memory makeover, which allows our beauty brand specialist to record makeover sessions with the customer and then send that home as a tutorial.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today, we're talking about the shopper of the future with someone whose job it is to figure out how to meet future needs that many of us can't even predict yet. Scott Emmons. Scott is the director and founder of the Innovation Lab for Neiman Marcus. We're going to talk to Scott about what's going on the horizon for retail and how he keeps his team on the cutting edge of retail innovation. That's coming up next. Today, I'm happy to be joined by my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Jen Overstreet. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited about today's conversation.
You've got a little cold thing going
on. I do.
On.
I'm sorry, listeners.
That's all right. But you sound good.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
You just turn up the bass a little bit.
Okay.
And Scott, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thanks for having me.
We're really glad that you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
You know, you have a really, really tough job. I mean, you're always having to look ahead. You have to learn from the past, but you've got to consider all of the things going on that are really framing the future, particularly as it relates to the business, but more importantly, to the consumer. How do you do that? I mean, really?
So first, I'm going to say that I don't know it's not always a tough job. It's a really fun job. I have to say that, I'm not sure how fortune worked out that I ended up with this job, but I'm really glad that that it worked out that way. I don't think it's any more complicated than going, in our stores or shopping on our website and trying to think like a customer's thinking and trying to look for the friction points or the things that, maybe could be made better.
Right.
During that shopping journey. I mean, that's really been my approach for, the 6 years that they've let me do this.
So can I ask first just like what is the innovation? Is that a place? Is it in walls? Do you have a team? What is it?
So, I got a really unique opportunity when I was given this role, and that was go make it up. So, there's not a lot of job opportunities that work out that way. We know we want to do an innovation lab. We're not sure what that looks like. See, go make your best pass at it, and we'll tell you if we like it or not. It was essentially, how the job, came to be. So, it is a place. The iLab is a physical place located, it's embedded, with our IT folks, which is where my background is. I came from IT, still am in IT. So it's a place. There is a team, but it morphs depending on what's going on in the lab, right? The team builds and then disbands, kind of on a project basis. Right. We're working hard for the Hudson Yards store in Manhattan that's going to open in the spring.
Right.
So there's more people kind of hanging around the lab than, might normally be as we, prepare, for that really kind of major store opening for us. The constant in the lab is me. I'm the, always there, and the other team morphs around me as needed.
When you look at so you've got the new store that's opening. One of the things we were talking about earlier in a different program was that, so much of what people expect in terms of technology in retail are things that they can see, like robots and, mirrors that, can reflect different clothes that you can wear without even putting them on. But a lot of it is things that you can't see that help the retailer to meet that consumer need or desire. How do you take, let's say, an older store? You've got a empty palette, a fresh start with a new store, but how do you take an older store and bring that up to speed?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and I have to tell you, you know, we don't build, you know, we don't open a lot of full line stores.
Right.
You know, that's a fairly rare event. In fact, when we moved the Fort Worth store just over a year ago, that was my first opportunity to do technology in a brand new, you know, store, you know, from the, you know, kind of from the ground up.
Sure.
You know, so the previous 5 years of doing the lab was going in and working in, you know, in our existing stores. You know, the good news for me was that it was a greenfield opportunity because we didn't really have customer-facing technology in our stores. We had beautiful stores.
Right.
They had beautiful fixtures and, you know, beautiful merchandise. And, you know, we, you know, had, you know, top-notch white glove, you know, service from the sales associates. But there wasn't really much in the way of technology. So, you know, with all the different kind of new technology capabilities that have sort of been, you know, popping up, you know, in my tenure there, I've been there about 16 years, right? So lots and lots of new technology coming along. And, you know, all of them look interesting because we didn't have any of them necessarily inside the store.
Sure.
Right. So, you know, so now the problem becomes, so which, how do we choose?
Right.
Right. There were so, you know, there's actually more choices than were ever going to be capacity to actually go out and try. And I kept it simple, right? You know, and the focus was, does it solve a problem for my customer? You know, so does a robot solve a problem for my customer? Then maybe we should try a robot. You'll know that there's not any robots in our stores.
scare your
point.
Customer.
Yeah. That's number one. Then number two, right, you know, because of our history, right, of that relationship-based kind of retailing that Neiman Marcus has always done, you know, building relationships with our customers, you know, I have to think about, does this thing, this technology, enhance that relationship? You know, I'm not trying to replace what we've done, you know, well for 110 years plus, you know, for Neiman Marcus. I'm trying to make it, you know, to better, to enhance it, to, you know, to add to it. So, you know, those are my two rules of thumb.
Could you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have implemented, maybe something that worked just like you thought it would and maybe something that didn't?
Yeah, you know, so when anybody asks me, so what, you know, worked really well, you know, I talk about memory mirrors because I got tons of attention. Customers love them, and the use case, you know, when you see it is pretty obvious, right? How do I make it easier for you to see what you have on with your own two eyes so you can decide, do I like it and do I want it
right
or not? And not have to stretch my neck, you know, to try to see what it looks like from behind, or have to trust my friends or my sales associate, you know, with their opinion of how it looks on, you know, from a third party kind of view, right, of the outfit. Memory mirror solves all those problems. And it also allows me to share those try-ons with people that can't be there with me and get opinions, right, from folks that, you know, can't be with me that day when I'm shopping. So we had great success with the original kind of fashion play with that, you know, these big kind of fashion mirrors that you would stand in with your clothes. And we continued to build on that use case, doing sunglasses, and then we've added a memory makeover, which allows our beauty brand specialists to record makeover sessions with the customer. And then send that home as a tutorial.
Oh, that's right? Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, how much more personalized could you get than that,
yeah, by the way?
So great use case. And now I've got this digital platform, by the way, all of those, whether it's sunglass or fashion or memory makeover, I have a digital platform that I can do other things like virtual makeup or virtual try-on, or, you know, there are lots of other things we can do with that platform and can continue to innovate on it.
Yeah. Does the consumer, I would assume, they expect it to some degree? I mean, I guess that, you know, when you introduce it, let's say you introduce it in the Fort Worth store and they shop at a store in Pentagon City or wherever, that they would expect that to be there as well. But how do you make that ubiquitous? I mean, where it's there, it's part of the Neiman Marcus brand.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so you got to work your way into that. The, you know, we usually start, you know, with a, you know, say 3-store kind of a proof of concept or, you know, or pilot program with the technology, and we kind of run it through its paces, right? Do customers really like it? Does it really do, you know, what it promised to do? Is it supportable? Is it reliable? Does it cause problems, you know, on our network, or, you know, it's got to coexist, right, with all the other things that the store's got to do. So we can run it through its paces, you know, and a lot of things don't make it past that phase, by the way. You know, you asked, you know, what thing have you tried that didn't work? Way more things than did. I can promise you. And, you know, often, you know, where it fails, or, you know, where we can't, you know, we decide, hey, you know what, this is not something we're going to, you know, move forward with at this time. It happens during those kinds of tests and the, you know, kind of the few store kind of pilot phase.
Do the ideas come from the associates themselves, or does it come from the customers, or does it just come from your own personal experience?
So all the above. Mm-hmm. It comes from the sales associates. It comes from the C-level executive that sat next to somebody, you know, or met somebody in their travels and, you know, heard a great idea. It comes from me and my travels around the world to go, you know, keep my eyes open for the next big thing. It comes from the solution providers themselves who, you know, are obviously tenacious about trying to, you know, get their toe in the door and, you know, prove, you know, to Neiman Marcus, you know, that they have a technology that is really going to do something great for us.
Right. Yeah. So if I were to project forward, when you think about the customer of the future, so, you know, Neiman Marcus has a niche customer, yet you've got to continue to build that base. You've got to continue to bring new customers in, that next generation of the Neiman Marcus customer. That's going to be a little bit more of a sophisticated, more technologically savvy consumer. So you anticipate that. How do you bridge that gap? You want to bring the new ones in, but you don't want to alienate the old ones, if that makes sense. And I don't want to say old ones like they're old people. It's just, you know, customers that have been shopping at Neiman Marcus for 40 years. But you've got to bring that person that's shopping there for the first time, and you want them to keep coming back, and they're a younger customer. How do you bridge that gap?
Yeah, you know, it is a balancing act, right? And, you know, I think because, you know, we've always, you know, emphasize, you know, our human relationship, you know, part of our business, that's always been very important.
That's a big part of the Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, right. You know, so, and as long as we have that, you know, I think that, you know, we have the capabilities to, you know, cater to a customer that is wants a more traditional experience and still offer, you know, modern amenities and modern digital kind of experiences when they're shopping with Neiman Marcus.
You said that you traveled the world.
Yeah, that's actually been an amazing part of this job. You know, for somebody that had never stepped foot, you know, out of the country any further than, say, Mexico or the Caribbean, right, for a
right.
vacation,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, I have literally traveled the world in the last 5 years.
So technologically, the United States, our retail, are we on par? Are we ahead? Are we behind?
We're, you know, ahead in a lot of ways, I think. Though, you know, when you go see, you know, say retail in Southern Europe, that kind of thing, they're doing, you know, some things that we haven't gotten to yet.
Right.
You know, especially when you think about, you know, how ubiquitous mobile POS is over there and that sort of thing. Right. And then you might go to, you know, other, you know, parts of the world, you know, where they're catching up.
Right.
You know, and you know what? And when you go to, you know, the trade shows and other things, you know, here in the U.S., you see a lot of the, you know, folks from those parts of the world coming to learn, right? You know, and they're going to catch up fast, you know, fast, I think. It's not going to take them long to get there.
Sure. And I imagine people really want to talk to you about all the things that you're doing.
You know, it's an amazing amount of interest in, you know, retail innovation. Lots of people do want to, you know, talk about it, not just with me, but, you know, any retailer that's, you know, putting forth an effort. And I'd say today that's probably just about all retailers mm-hmm. are. You know, looking for new ways to resonate with their customers.
And you founded, you were there at the very beginning
of the Innovation Lab.
Yeah.
I wasn't there in 1907 when Neiman Marcus was founded.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. New CIO at the time, you know, came on board, Michael Kingston, and he, within about 3 weeks, said, I want to do this, and I got tagged. To found it.
So what do you tell other retailers when they're talking to you about potentially starting an innovation lab or powering up their innovation efforts? What is it that you're telling them?
It's not cookie cutter, for one thing, right? You know, and you know, what works for Neiman Marcus doesn't necessarily work, you know, for all retailers, mm-hmm. number one. You know, when they ask me why I think our innovation program is successful and still around after 6 years, which is, you know, a long time when you kind of look at some of the other, you know, retail innovation programs that have come and gone in just that short amount of time. You know, I always say that, you know, we did it as a grassroots effort. You know, we didn't go out and build, you know, a separate facility and staff it with lots of people and a huge, you know, kind of expense overhead to run it. We built it within our existing IT organization. We did it, you know, really frugally in terms of budgeting. That has, you know, been part of the key to, you know, success, you know, to allow us to ramp up and, you know, get a reputation across our organization that, you know, the iLab was a place that could help them, solve problems when it came, you know, when technology was involved. That's really has been the key,
right?
To being around. Now, the huge benefit we get out of it, from the IT perspective, is now, you know, we are part of the conversation, you know, when ideation's going on. And when, you know, folks are, you know, thinking about, hey, you know, I have a great idea I'd like to go try, we're there at the table and it can help shape the conversation, you know, in a way that, you know, is deliverable, as opposed to, you know, IT being a bunch of guys that sat around and when the business came over, you know, over with an idea, said, no, yeah, we did our, you know, our capital budget, you know, 12 months ago and there's no money to do that. We already went this direction and it conflicts with what you're trying to, do. You know, we're in a much better position to say yes.
Yeah. It's amazing, Scott. I mean, you think about it and it hasn't been a long time. I mean, it used to be where people for like innovations, not really part of the business per se, it was in IT. But now it seems to me that it is so integrated with the business, and that you're not having to try to prove yourself. They're coming to you and saying, you've proven yourself, you've proven your worth. You don't have those fights anymore for that capital expenditure, do you?
Well, I don't know if I can dive into that too much, but
right.
You know, there's always...
But I mean, in a general sense.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at retail.
Look, there's capital's a finite resource, and
sure.
So there's always competition
sure.
for where are we going to spend it. That's,
right.
That is, you know, it would be safe to say.
Yeah, I think that, yeah. You know, when you... I look at the recent history... where it was something where people would say, it's a nice idea, but we've got to sell product. This is what, you know, we're going to look at the bottom line. We're not going to look to the future of these futuristic things. I just think that people now say, we've got to stay in front of the technology because it's moving so quickly.
I think that's safe to say. I think that, you know, from the C-suite on down, people have bought into, you know, technology is one of the core components.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful. It's not the silver bullet. It doesn't go solve all your retail problems, but it's certainly, you know, part of the solution, you know, and so you have to, you know, be integrated with all the other things that a retailer has to be great at, right? The technology team needs to be closely integrated with the rest of the teams.
So, Scott, I know that we are running a little bit short on time, but we could not let you go from your perspective. We want to know, what does the future of retail look like when you look ahead? 10 years, 15 years, how are we shopping?
Well, let me tell you what, you know, how we're thinking about things today, you know, and as we see our digital-only customer and our digital-only business, you know, continue to grow, at a rapid rate, you know, we look for ways that we can, you know, make a Neiman Marcus experience, a recognizable one, no matter how you touch us. Whether you are a person that comes to the store or you're a shopper that only, you know, likes to shop online. So, you know, we continue to look for new and great ways to make Neiman Marcus, Neiman Marcus, no matter how you want to shop with us. So I think, you know, to me, that's, you know, 10 years down the road, it's not like we're all going to be, you know, going to the store in jetpacks, maybe, but the... You know, I think that we can all agree that the, you know, all the talk over the last couple of years of, you know, physical retail is dead. You know, I think that, you know, there's plenty of signs out there that was completely incorrect.
Correct. It was incorrect.
Yeah, it's correct that it was incorrect. And that, you know, retailers that, you know, can embrace both the digital, you know, kind of online shopper and brick and mortar, you know, are doing just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think 10 years from now, that continues to be the case.
I agree. Yeah. I agree 100%. So yeah. We are running short on time, but we have a part of the program that we call Rapid Fire. Are you ready?
I'm terrible at this, but let's give it our best shot.
Let's give it a try. One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC. All right, Jen, start us off.
You said you've been traveling. Favorite place you've traveled?
Boy, I'm going to Sao Paulo here in a few weeks.
And sounds pretty good.
That was pretty fun, right? You know, so, you know, I'd rate that right on up there at the top.
What is an app that you cannot live without?
What is an app that I cannot live without? WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
That is my communication tool with, you know, my friends, my solution providers, my coworkers, everything. I use WhatsApp.
What's your favorite thing on your desk at work?
That is, I don't know that I have a favorite thing on my desk at work.
Yeah.
So what's your ideal vacation?
Ideal vacation is Christmas in, you know, Europe.
In Europe, very good.
What other job would you do if not this one incredibly awesome job that you do have?
You know, that is, I have to tell you, this current job has ruined me. I'm not sure that there is, I'm not sure there's another job that I, you know, would be as excited about. You know, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but doing the retail innovation thing for Neiman Marcus has been amazing.
I believe that.
Well, it's an amazing part of the business. Scott, thank you so much for taking time with us on Retail Gets Real. It's been incredibly interesting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wishing you all the best. And Jen, thanks again for co-hosting.
Of course.
You're great.
This was awesome.
And we really appreciate everybody out there listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. We're going to post more information about the topics we discussed today on our website, retailgetsreal.com, where you can also find links to other episodes. Thanks for listening. And if you like Retail Gets Real, please tell your friends and colleagues about the show or give us a rating on your podcast app. Appreciate it. Take care. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.